Hey there, it's Jeff Luther, and you are diving into the podcast for the Service Business Blueprint. This is where I walk with you and help you unlock the secrets to building a thriving service-based business. We talk about everything from starting out to setting milestones in your company you didn't even know would exist. We'll cover entrepreneurship, personal growth, mindset, everything you need for success in your service-based business. You ready to build that blueprint? Welcome back to the Service Business Blueprint, where we share tools, tips, tricks, strategies. We want to help everybody out there achieve your personal and your business goals, overcoming mindset obstacles, overcoming limiting beliefs, and how we can use those to empower our business and grow our business, empower our people and grow our business. I'm your host, Jeff Luther. We have a fun episode today for sure. I'm going to air some dirty laundry, so I'm going to show that I'm just as human as anyone else out there and probably get a little bit vulnerable, but I think this is it's a great lesson and will certainly be good therapy for me. So I will thank you all in advance for giving me the space and letting me kind of get this out in the open. And I will tell you too, you know, sometimes the world, it just seems really big. And we feel really small. And those things that we internalize and we keep inside, whether it's because of our ego or we're scared of hurting people's feelings, a lot of times it's because we're afraid of what people may think of us. I'll challenge you next time to maybe say them out loud. Once we start saying things out loud, they don't seem so big. So that's a perfect segue into what I'm going to talk about. Have you ever been in that position before where you knew you were going to have to lay someone off? Now, different than firing. Firing to me is easy. Firing is cause. And I've done that enough to know that it's always best to just enter the danger, right? I did have a mentor one time tell me, we were talking about a particular employee that I had, and he said, do you know when the best time to fire someone is? And I couldn't think of an answer. I was like, the best time? You know, there's no good time. I was like, no, you know, when's the best time to fire somebody? He said, the best time to fire someone is when you first start thinking about it. I think that's probably sound advice. I would caution anybody out there that has kind of the knee-jerk reaction to consider it a little longer. But, you know, probably a good thing when you think about firing someone to consider that that may be the best time. So the real estate market, now, of course, I have a home inspection business. The real estate market has been deteriorating over the last, well, almost 2 years now. And I say deteriorating. The market's healthy. The market's in good shape. The number of transactions is down significantly over the last couple of years. And for me, in my business, we need transaction volume. We need for something to happen for our trucks to leave the parking lot to go out and do inspections. So as it has been continuing to deteriorate, we've been thinking it was going to come back. And then ultimately we had to make decisions. And some of those really tough decisions was eliminating jobs. so I sort of panicked, and I will start this out by saying that our crew of inspectors that we've had over the last 20 years have been, we have some really amazing folks that we work with, some fantastic inspectors. So when you get to a point where you start to let people go and it's not for a cause, it's just because things that are happening in the market, I was going to say things that are out of your control, but I think I would probably get challenged on that. Hope I would get challenged on that. It's always in our control, right? But market conditions certainly do add to the level of difficulty that already exists in owning a business. So we had to go through and figure out what we were going to do. So our people are really fantastic. I'm going to kind of go through. There were three key folks that were really painful in this whole process, and I'm going to walk through all three. There are four. One we'll just touch on briefly. So we have, we operate in two different states, and in one state we have a very seasoned inspector, a leader, probably one of the best home inspectors that I think I know. He's been with us a while at our office in Atlanta, and was a great guy, or is a great guy. He's still around. But he was one of the people that was let go. See, when you're letting people go, you go through with all these questions. It's who do you want to build back with? What kind of team do you want? What are the goals of the folks that are in the organization? How do those goals align with the company goals? And you also kind of take into consideration like what the skill set is of the folks that you do have. How marketable are they going to be out in the open job market? Everything goes into play. So one of the folks that I had to let go was is actually a good friend, been with us for a long time, top inspector. That was a really tough person to let go. And I'll kind of go how this whole thing happened and then work backwards a little bit. Now, I panicked. When we started laying folks off, I panicked. I was cutting costs. I've always been of the belief. Now, I do have in a former life kind of a corporate background, so I've seen layoffs where people come in on Friday and 8 or 10 people get let go. Next Friday, 8 or 10 people let go. And this goes on for a series of months as they're cutting jobs. So you watch morale get lower and lower and lower and lower through this process. And I knew that I didn't want to do that. So I cut once. I cut deep. That is my style. And I once I make a decision, I'm pretty unwavering in my decision, good, bad, or indifferent. That's just giving you some background. So about 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, I called this inspector back. We got things leveled out, and I let people go in the company, and I had gotten a handle on finances, on operating costs, expenses, and I knew where the company was. And to be very open and honest, I had taken my eye off the ball, and I wasn't holding up my end of the deal with some of the finances of the company. I was letting that go. So I got control of everything, and I called this particular inspector back, asked him to come back, and I think as a courtesy, he told me that he would consider it and call me the next day. So the next day he called me and said, you know, it's just not right. It's not a good thing for me. Which was sad, right? Of course, you always want your people to stay around. And you always want them to be happy working when they're where they're working, and you want them to want to come back. So he did not come back, and that was fine. It did make me sad, but I found out a month or so later that he had opened his own company, and I found out opened his own home inspection company, and so kind of as a competitor. And I found out because it was an agent that worked with us and worked with him as well while he was employed by us that let me know that he had contacted that agent, which was disheartening. I had to reframe that. I didn't have to reframe that. Actually, I didn't have to do anything, but I chose to reframe that. And I want to get to that too. So that was the first. I'm going to touch briefly on the second. The second was another inspector in Atlanta who was a great inspector. He was the leader. He was actually the manager over all of the inspectors, quality control manager, process improvement manager, manager of our trainers. And I kept him on and wanted to keep him on in a limited capacity doing the same thing and also doing inspections. And after about a month, he turned in his notice, which was disheartening, very frustrating, because I just went through the pain of laying all those people off and not... I mean, when I say went through the pain, we all went through the pain. The people that I laid off, I went through the pain, and then also the people that stuck around had to watch as all this happened. So it was a painful process. So that was frustrating. So that's number two. And then number three was an inspector that worked at another, at our location in South Carolina, who, again, great inspector, kept him, and he ultimately turned in his 2 weeks. And for any of you that are out there in the home inspection business, you know how long it takes to hire someone, let alone how long it takes to train someone, and then get somebody up and running. So he turned in his 2 weeks notice, and he was really the only inspector that we had there, and I was doing some of the backup work. So when he turned in his notice, it was like, oh my gosh, you know, how did this happen? What is this negotiable? Can I get you to stay? And in the conversation, we were talking about what he was going to do for his business. And he did say, well, look, you know, I've made relationships along the way. And with those relationships, I'll be letting those people know that I have started my own business. And I think that that will kind of get me started and get me a leg up starting my own home inspection company. I'll ultimately build a good business, which I understand and I appreciate. And the first thing that I thought was, well, gosh, you know, you made those relationships because you were employed by us and we introduced you to all those folks. So not necessarily a great way to think, but that's part of this podcast. That's part of this learning. Shortly thereafter, now remember when I cut the production folks and I also cut internal folks. So we cut internal, what I considered non-revenue generating folks as well. So we were on limited operating crew internally, answering the phones, admin. So I had one of the folks that does all of our logistics for the next day, does phone backup. He's kind of our liaison to the folks out in the field. Superhuman. And he turned in his 2 weeks. So it's kind of a perfect storm. And it's one of those situations where if you're not careful, you find yourself asking the question, why is this happening to me? That is a dangerous question. Because your brain starts to think, okay, this is happening to you. Let's get into survival mode. Let's get scared. Let's hibernate. Do not tell yourself that story. Why is this happening for me? What is my lesson? What is great about this? That is a great reframe when you feel like you're in a position when things are happening to you. So let's go back to inspector number one. So he had turned in his 2 weeks and he did not turn in his 2 weeks. He had been laid off. I'd asked him to come back. He decided not to. I found out that he opened his own business. I want to go back about a year or so. This inspector, great inspector, the person, an amazing person, a really great human, and just lost his drive at some point in our organization. I think that we had some middle tier friction, some management friction somewhere. So I remember being on the phone with him one day, asking him what he wanted to do. And he said, look, man, I like inspecting. I just want to keep inspecting. Because I wanted more for this inspector. And I think we can all identify with that, where we want more for our people. We see the potential in them that they may not see. So I wanted more for him. I wanted him to do more in the company. I wanted him to want more in the company. But more importantly, I wanted him to want more for himself. So I asked him what he wanted to do. And he said he just wanted to inspect. Then I said, you know, have you ever thought about just opening your own business? I meant it. I was genuine. I said, you know, I could help you. And that was something he was not interested in at the time, which, you know, I was genuine in my question, genuine in my intent, and at the time would have helped him. So I had to reframe it. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, this is something that I wanted for him when things were really good in the company, when we were doing well and real estate was really great. This is something that I wanted for him. I wanted him to want. The timing was just bad. So then I reframed it where, you know what? What's great about this? What's great about this is he's actually opening his own business, going out and doing his own thing. Ultimately, I genuinely believe that he's going to appreciate that that things turned out the way that they did. So that's scenario number one. Reframing that and finding what's great about it, finding the great piece of it, that was important for me. So we'll go to inspector number two that turned in his 2 weeks. He was the upper tier inspector, the manager. And when he turned in his 2 weeks, he said, look, you know, I am going next week to speak at a funeral for my friend's wife, who's just, who we watched die of, I believe it was ALS? No, I believe it was cancer. I'm sorry. Over the last year or so. I'm at a point now where we've accomplished what we want to accomplish financially. Our kids have moved out of the house. We now have our home that we love. We just bought it. And I don't want to wake up one day and think, oh my gosh, I've worked all of this away. So he explained that to me. While it was tough, the position that I was in with him leaving was really tough. So I had to reframe that and say, okay, what's great about this? You know, I've worked with someone for the last 5 years who's now in a position where they can retire and they can enjoy their life with their wife, and we're going to leave on a happy note. So it's reframing and figuring out what's great about the situation. Third situation is the inspector that left and indicated that he was going to use contacts he had made with our company to get his own business going and get his own business off the ground. One of the things that he said to me was, you know, it's just time for me to try this. So this sounds a little self-absorbed, and I'm getting a little bit vulnerable here saying this, but all the way to reframe that was, golly, you know, this guy has been working with us, has gotten the confidence, the education, the skill set, the know-how, and the drive to take this position that he's had, go out on his own, and turn that into a business. And I will tell you this, one of the things that made this different is in the conversation with him, when I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. I'll be very honest about that, selfishly. In that conversation with him, he said, look, man, this is not something that I'm doing to be, I'm not angry. I'm not being malicious. I love this company. I love this company. I love you. I'll help you any way that I can, but this is something that I need to do for me. So I really didn't have to look very hard to find something great about that. When he said that, I realized, wow, all right, this is the relationship that I built. This is the company that I built. I've got people that are leaving, and this is what they think. So you can't ask for anything more than that. So reframing it, what is great about this? What's great about this is I built a company with a process that's so fantastic that people leave going out into the job market better than when they showed up. And that has been my mission from the onset. Employee number four, the guy, the internal guy or admin, or office, customer experience, whatever you want to call him, when he turned in his 2 weeks, it's like, oh my gosh, this guy, I mean, he is everything that the company, that we would want the company to be represented by. And when he turned in his 2 weeks, I was trying to figure out what he was doing. He actually had an opportunity to go and continue his education. It's in a trade, a specific trade, a specific service, I guess, but it's a high-end service, something that he is passionate about, will be amazing at. And I get to be part of that journey. So what's great about that is I get to be part of the process, watching him go from being an employee in our company to leaving, going out on his own, pursuing his dreams. And in the process, in this transition, he's still working with us. He's starting his new endeavor. So that's fun to watch. And being part of building someone's confidence to the point where they feel like they can leave, go out, do something on their own, learn a skill, and start their own business has actually really been amazing. So the idea here, and the point of this one is that I get to say this out loud, kind of air my dirty laundry. People know that I'm just as human as you are. I'm not sitting behind a screen or sitting in front of a camera talking about how great I am, how great my business is. Hey, come join our group and get coached by us because we're amazing. And number two, now that I say it out loud, it's not that big of a deal. In my opinion, I think darkness breeds shame. Once we bring things to light, once we bring those things that we might have shame about and put them out in the light, there's no shame, right? If, you know, someone, things are out in the open, like if someone says, oh my gosh, yeah, you got yourself in a position in your business and you had to lay people off. Yeah. And what's the big deal, right? Getting it out in the open makes you own it and it makes it not so big. So that was part two of it. And most importantly, I think reframing things, how do we find what's great in any situation, is a huge help, keeps us going. Look, if you like what you're hearing, click that link below, like us, follow us along, write a review, that would be super helpful. And if you want to, we also have the four questions that I recommend asking before you implement anything new in your business. You can sign up for that as well. There's a link below. And I love being here, love seeing you guys, and I cannot wait until next time. This is Jeff Luther with the Service Business Blueprint, and the idea is to kind of get in there and see what we can do to help improve our business, develop our people.
Thanks for hanging out on the Service Business Blueprint with me, Jeff Luther. Stay in the loop as we keep delivering these strategies to supercharge your service business. Hit subscribe, leave a review, be part of our growing community. Now you have someone to walk with you as we create your service business blueprint. Until next time, remember, where you focus is where your energy goes. Beliefs turn to things, so choose the good ones.